and we honor you. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, our precious Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, in whom we live and move and have our being. We worship and welcome you this morning also. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for who you are to us. And we thank you for your presence here today. And in anticipation of all the great and mighty things you will do, both in us and through us, as the word goes forth, we worship and we thank you. Thank you for your presence, Father, Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
So we lift our hands, we lift our hands to worship.
And mighty in our midst today, the Holy One of Israel, the mighty God of Jacob, the strength of Israel, who does not lie nor repent. There is no one like you. El Elyon Adonai, the God of all creation, we bow in honor before you this morning. We ask you to come and take your place in our midst, our Father. Father, have mercy upon us. Let your kingdom come, your will be done in through and for us, as in heaven. We love you, Lord Jesus, King and Captain, Lord and High Priest. We acknowledge you and give you your place of Lordship in our midst today. Come and have your way. Lord Holy Spirit, mighty helper, there is no one like you. Almighty Paracletos, he who brings light and wisdom and understanding. We give you your place of perfect control today. Come and have your way. Let the kingdom of our Father come. His will be done, and his glory be revealed, and us all to be changed and transformed in your presence. We worship, honor, and welcome you, our God, in Jesus' name.
There is no
hallelujah.
One you.
Praise the Lord. Wow, I didn't hear anything. Praise you, the Lord. We want to thank God for the great privilege once again to assemble together in the presence of God. We do not assemble to ourselves, but unto the living God, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls in this house. We want to thank every one of you for being here today and taking the time out. You are not here in vain, and it's going to be a wonderful time in the presence of God. So greet your neighbor to your right and to your left for your welcome today. It's good to see you here again. You and I are going to have a marvelous, wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. You're going to be great in God, great in love, great in knowledge, great in wisdom, greater in power, greater in peace, greater even in prosperity. And guess what? You'll be more like God by the end of this service than you are right now. Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. I give your neighbor a high five. Amen. One day we'll high-five God too, but not yet. Amen. One day. Amen. Well, it's a privilege, like I said, to be here and to bring the word today. We'll go straight into the business of the day. We'll go into the Bible study first of all. We also want to welcome all of our internet audience as you join with us again today. The Lord will bless you. You too will be great in God in Jesus' name. Just want to remind you that all these services, our services, this one particularly, and all the others too, are being streamed live as we have the service And if you miss it then, you can also go to YouTube and can download the service at your pleasure and watch it. And it's been done so that you can go straight to the Bible study, straight to the message, any part that you want to, so that you just point and click and you're right where the service begins, or whatever part of the service you want to join and begins. And so we invite you to join with us also, and you too are going to be great in God in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we're going to go to straight to pray. So we bow our heads, please, as much as possible, that there be no moving around whilst we pray and we reverence and honor God. Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. What a privilege it is to come into your presence, to come to share your word and to receive it. And because it is the word of the living God, we are fully conscious of the limitations of our human mind and of ourselves, both to deliver as well as to receive this wonderful word, the manifest, compressed wisdom of the God of heaven and earth. And so we come to you to ask for help. In particular, I strip myself now of every confidence I might have in myself, my knowledge, my preparation, anything like that, doesn't matter now. All that matters is for you to grant me mercy, to be faithful, to use what I've prepared, use what I've learned and known, Lord, to bring forth this word in accuracy, in power, in great clarity, in simplicity, and in the comfort and the love of your spirit, to be a blessing to all that hear it, whether they are here physically or by electronic means or later on, Lord, so that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power will back it in the name of Jesus. So to men hearers and doers of the things that they hear in the name of Jesus. I also ask you, heaven, to be concise, to be precise. Help me not to say things unnecessary, to bring forth out from the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. I further ask as I speak, Lord, you caused my heart to be a free chalice, Lord, a chalice free of all hindrance. There'll be a free flow from you through me to the people. It will be you speaking through me to the people, not my words, Lord God. And as I speak, let your power and presence fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation of your word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, and also our emotions to be controlled and tempered even further by the precious fruit of the Spirit, especially love. I further ask, Lord, for mercy to be faithful. As I duck under the anointings of my fathers, I take upon me their mantles and help me, Lord God, to preach and bring forth this word as they would were they here personally, so this word will go forth as a river of refreshing to all, bringing joy and refreshing to everyone that hears it, but especially to them. And as they drink from this vine which they have planted, they will be satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Father, because faithful art thou who hast promised, who do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, imagine, or think. In Jesus' name, amen. And the people say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank God again for the great privilege we have to bring the word today. Again, we want to acknowledge and thank the fathers in absentia, Pastor Libby Johnson, for this great privilege to bring the word today, and also Mommy Sarah. They're not here physically, but they prayed, and I know that they're watching by the power of the technology. Amen. And they send their love to every one of us here today. Amen. And so we want to thank God. We are in the book of Acts. We've been in Acts for quite some time, and we'll be there for some time. As I've said before, and we'll say again today, the book of Acts is very, very important now, and increasingly important as we go into this season of new begins, this day of the manifestation of the sons of God, the glory of God, the Spirit without measure, all these things. Because Acts gives us a foretaste of what it was like when the Spirit without measure was poured out upon, well, not poured out, the Spirit was given, the earnest was poured out, but the Spirit without measure that was upon the Lord Jesus Christ was given to the apostles initially as a boost when they began the early church. And we saw the things, the miracles that transpired during that time. And from those things that took place then, we can receive like it was a foretaste of what is coming. Although, like I always say, and which is true, the glory of this latter house will exceed the former by far in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're really looking forward for great, great things. And in the last time we shared and saw how the Lord brought Moses into the desert after having given him 40 years of training in the house of Pharaoh. But we know what happened. The Bible says he chose to suffer affliction with the people of Israel rather than to enjoy sin for a season. Sin only lasts for a season anyway. So he made the right choice. And the right choice was leaving Egypt and choosing to go to the back side of the desert. And he was there for 40 years. Amen? 40 years. How many years has God been working on you? And you think it's too much? 40 years. God took 40 years to thoroughly break Moses. We're going to see that again. And so we saw how after 40 years, the Lord now brought me to a time of revelation. He had gotten so used to dealing with sheep. He was just sheep. But one day he was walking after God was sighted. Because God was watching him all the time. God is watching you all the time. Watching your heart changes, your heart inclinations. All those things are, you're sending up messages to God 24/7. You can't help it. You are connected to him. Amen. He made you in his image and likeness. So God is always watching. And when he saw that Moses' heart was just about ready, after 40 years, he now appeared to him. But you see, he just appeared. He didn't say anything. It wasn't until Moses was completely turned aside. And we said that that means that many times, most times, all the time, God is more interested in having our full attention. He doesn't want partial attention. What is it? He said, my son, give me your heart. Not a portion. All. God wants all of our hearts. And so it wasn't until he saw that he had Moses' undivided attention that God now spoke and said, I'm the God of thy father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Take your feet off, your shoes off your feet. You're on holy ground. God does that to us too in many diverse ways. And does that mean that we don't do anything except give God attention? No. God is a very wonderful God. He's a loving Father. What he wants is that you give him his full attention. Like Pastor was saying some time ago, he said that the quality and the quantity of our time of devotion to God must never, ever change. Amen? I mean, it must never decrease. The quantity must never decrease. The quality must never decrease. Must be increasing always. Amen? Now, does God, does that mean you don't do anything else? No. All God wants is for you to seek him first. And make him priority in your life. And so when he saw Moses turn aside, and now he now spoke and called him into the fullness of his prophetic destiny, which is where we are going to start from now. Amen. And so we see this. So we're going to continue today from Acts chapter 7. We stopped in verse 35, so we'll start from verse 36. Yes, we saw that they refused Moses. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's read the scripture first. In Acts chapter 7, verse 36. I'm going to move back up to verse 35 so we'll get the gist of it. Amen. Are we there? Acts 7, okay. Acts verse 35, 7 verse 35. Acts 7, 35. Back up one verse. One verse backwards. One verse. Thank you. Now let's read together. It said, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? And the answer is, God did. Amen. The same did God send to be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the burning bush. We've already said that. Now, verse 36. He brought them out after that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. There's a lot inside that verse. And this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you out of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the mount and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey but thrust him from them and in their hearts turn back to Egypt. Say to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of, so they knew he brought them out. We wot not, that's what they said, we don't know what has happened to him. We wot not what has become of him. And they made him a calf in those days and offered sacrifice to the idol and rejoiced the world. We will stop there for now. There's so much here. I'm not sure how much power we can go, but God is going to have mercy upon us and help us. Let's back up a little bit. We'll go back to verse 36. It says he brought, now, what you see here is the Spirit of God through Stephen. Remember, this was Stephen's testimony in front of the Sanhedrin. he had been arrested for blasphemy, and he was giving a testimony. And he was telling the people that your problem really is you reject all your leaders that God sends you. And he was now reading, as it were, the qualities of Moses, the CV, as it were, of Moses. In God's eyes, Moses, this Moses whom they refused, same Moses that brought them out after 40 years, same Moses that was in the church in the wilderness, same Moses that were fathers, you know, who thrust, would not obey, but thrust him from them. This is the same Moses that you are, your leaders rejected, and the fathers rejected, and now you are also rejecting the leaders that God has sent to you, particularly the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was giving Moses credentials. Now, let's look at it. It says, in this Moses, he brought them out after showing wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness 40 years. Three stages of signs and wonders. Oh my. Well, anyway, let's start. Let's, like I said, the emphasis of Stephen's defense was to highlight the serial rejection of God's chosen leaders. Giving the example already of Joseph, who was rejected by his brothers because they envied him, because their father loved them. Amen. Now he's recounting the experience of Moses. Amen. And the bondage and capture of Israel. Now, so Israel rejected the leadership of Moses. Moses was now in a time of revelation and manifestation. Amen. And says he brought them out. We understand when he says he brought them out. It wasn't Moses that brought them out. It was God through Moses. Amen. God working through Moses brought Israel out of Egypt. And God working through Moses kept them in Israel in the desert for 40 years. That's amazing to me. He's talking about 3 million plus people. What I want to bring out here, what was the key to this choice of Moses as the deliverer? What made him ready for the task? Exodus chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, quickly. Exodus 3, 10, 11. Exodus 3, 10, 11. This is Moses. These are his credentials. Yeah. Come now, therefore. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And I will send it to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Look at Moses' reply. Next verse. And Moses said, now, stop there a minute. This is Moses, who was mighty in word and in deed 40 years ago. This is Moses, who was a prince of Egypt, who could have anything out of the greatest nation of all time. He was the son of the king, or the daughter of Pharaoh. Amen. So he was royalty. Now look how he says. And Moses said unto God, Ejeka Joka. Maybe we should say it to ourselves every now and then. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that Moses, should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Hello, somebody. This is Moses that was learned and mighty in word and deed. A man had now become a man who can now talk, who had no confidence in his own ability. Hello, somebody. He was so meek now. In fact, the Bible says so in Numbers, I think. Numbers says Moses had become the meekest man on the earth. He was so meek, he got God angry. God almost got angry. Say, is it not me that created the mouth that speaks? Yeah, I am the one that created. You go and speak on my behalf. Amen. What are we saying here? After 40 years, Moses qualified for God's eternal purpose for his life because of meekness. I'm hoping I'm speaking to some of us here. You know what? God is working on the same transformation, you and I. So we also will become, hello, meekest men and women on the earth. Hello, Moses. And not only that, folks. A thought just popped to mind, and you'll also remain meek and lowly in your heart, regardless of what God does to you. Meekness is good when you have nothing. When you become someone, never saw that. I said, when you were small in your own eyes, did I not make you? It is smallness that makes God make you small in your own eyes. Amen. This was the cure. The ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which we are to learn and adorn ourselves with. The same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Amen? And he says Moses was the type of Christ, the meekest man in all the earth. Amen. Numbers 12:3 says he was the meekest man. Point is that to do the kind of great miracles that Moses was going to do, he had to be at a level of meekness unprecedented. And guess what, folks? To do the kind of miracles that God is bringing through you and I, you're going to become gods, you know. Ah, there's a place that says, I made you a god to Pharaoh. If you are not meek, that thing will puff you up. So God is doing us a favor by waiting. Until. You know what I believe by the grace of God? I'm getting a little bit preachy here now. But you know, I believe very strongly. Pastor, I'm a prophet. Maybe a prophet. Prof. I believe those 10 miracles were not just written for writing's sake. There's nothing, it says not one jot or tittle of this word shall pass except all be fulfilled. Not only in you, not only in Moses, but in you. I personally believe these 10 miracles are going to come back somehow or the other through some fortunate, blessed Christians. The true witnesses. Bible says they have power to smite the earth with all manner of plagues as they will. And one of the plagues is a plague of, there's one of the plagues that, you know, that, yeah, to turn, you know, water to blood. Yeah. So what are we saying? Moses, if you look at what Moses, all he did was obey what God did. Stretch forth your rod. Yes, sir. Put your rod into water. It wasn't even God would tell him, and he would tell Aaron. Aaron, put it into water. The water will turn to blood. Lift up your hand and throw dust in the air. Becomes lice. He added nothing. He just downloaded what God wanted and did it. As the Lord instructed, bam. Hello, somebody. I tell you the truth. This is where we're going. Okay, so this is it. I wrote it. The only time he disobeyed God was the time he struck the rock twice. One time only. And it cost him the promised land. Why? Because God had taken time to make him the meekest man on the earth. He lost the ability, the plan of God for him to enter the promised land. That would not happen to us in Jesus' name. But the point is that God will not trust men with the anointing without measure until we attain this level of meekness that surpasses, the meekness of Moses himself, the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It was mommy's statement that came to my mind as I was preparing. It said, mommy said that Jesus had to learn to be a man. He put off his omnipotence, trusted completely in the Father and the Son. Hello, somebody. For us to do the same, for us to get to where he did, we're going to have to trust the Father and the Son. Amen. So we do nothing of ourselves except what the Lord asks us to do. Now, I believe it's also important to understand the issue of Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh that God was sent to is himself a study. Because when I was reading this thing to, you know, prepare this message, I found out that Pharaoh, first of all, I believe very strongly that Pharaoh should have known who Joseph was. You know why? Because in every civilization of those days, there was always a record. They were educated. Egypt was one of the most educated civilizations on the face of the earth. So they had annals going back centuries. Hello? They had it in Shushan the palace. Remember, the king could not sleep? What did he ask him to bring the records? He was reading them. That's why he found out that nothing had been done for Mordecai. Amen? Hello? See, the same thing in Ezra. When the children of Israel were building the temple. And they said, Darius. He said, I sent to King Darius, he sent a letter to him and said, go and check the records. Is there a record there that some king previously allowed these people to build? And they checked and found out that Cyrus gave the decree. There was a record there. Same thing in Babylon. Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel the Yaptim, said, you knew what happened to your grandfather. You should have known much better than to go and start using God's vessels for gold and silver to sacrifice to your gods. What am I saying? There's a record. So this guy could have found out who are these Egyptians that this God wants to release if he wanted to. But you know what? And this, I was sharing this with my brother JJ the other day. That there's only one person in the Bible that God was sure would not repent. It was this Pharaoh. Give me that. Exodus chapter 3, verse 19. It's amazing. Only person ever. This will not be yours in Jesus' name. Says, I am sure. This is God. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. Not by mighty hand. God said, this man, I know him. Now, God forbid you. There's no other person in the Bible that God said this about. Not even Manasseh. This one was like, this man, God had been watching him since he became king. You know, I told everyone's heart, you are sending signals. The man said, this one will not change. He will not let you go unless I make him let you go. Amen? The Bible says, I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins. God looks upon the inward man. Amen. But this guy was, true to his heart, Pharaoh was actually insolent. Can you imagine? Someone being insolent to God's emissary. Oh man, like, yeah, go. When Moses went and said, who is the God of Israel? And I should let his people go. Give me Exodus 5:1. Says, who is the Lord? Can you imagine? Says, let my people make a whole feast unto you. Next verse, give me verse 2. And said, verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should do? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm greater than God. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. Yay! Reminds me of one guy by the name of Neighbor. God dealt with Neighbor. The man says his heart died within him. He had a stroke, internal stroke, when he heard what his wife. Neighbor was foolish. David was looking after his people in the field, so he asked him to give him some food. The man says, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? David, that God had anointed king. But I said, touch not my anointed. Not even with your mouth. Nobody said amen. I said, touch not my anointed. Not even your mouth. But the essence is, now, why are we looking at Pharaoh? I want us to see something. You see, because when people read the script, they read the scripture, they come to the erroneous conclusion that God did harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, God did harden Pharaoh's heart. And it's true. But the point was, Pharaoh's heart was already set against God, was already hardened. And all God did was to respond to Pharaoh as Pharaoh responded to him. Hello? Chigenan. It wasn't God's fault. Pharaoh could have changed his heart. And guess what, brethren? See, God is so good. Even in judgment, he remembers mercy. All those judgments that came upon every single one of them, that Pharaoh had a chance to repent. But he chose not to. If I was what I would do in 419. He said, look, okay, I'll do. When are you going to remove this plague of frogs? Tomorrow? Okay, tomorrow. I'll let them go tomorrow. And so Moses, wonderful, calm, meek man that he is, he will remove the frogs. But now we'll see where the frogs are going. Just change again. Say, okay, I'm not letting them go again. Hello? Give me Psalm 18, quickly, please. Psalm 18, verse 24. Verse 24. This is the principle that I want to bring this up because I want to create the impression that many people may have that God hardens people's heart. No. God is a good God. He's not willing that any should perish. If Pharaoh had been malleable, God would have changed with him. Hello, somebody. Psalm 18, 24. Therefore, hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. That's the Lord. Next verse. With the merciful, let's read it out. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself what? Upright. Next verse is what happened to Pharaoh. Next verse. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, froward means devious, thou wilt show thyself shrewd. That, if you read it in the Amplified, says shrewd, which you deal with him shrewdly. You deal with him like, you know, Bible says God taketh the wise in his own craftiness. That's what happened. And that's why we need to be very careful of what our hearts are saying, folks. Because if God is gracious, he's good. He gives space to repent. He gave Pharaoh time to, he gave Pharaoh 10 miracles to repent. But she had said, I'm sure he will not change. But you know, just like God was surprised at Manasseh's change, was it Ahab? Say, look, well, Ahab is walking straight in suffering before us. Pharaoh could have been a surprise to God too. It wasn't that God wanted to harden him so that he could kill the firstborn. God is not in the business of killing people. He does if he has to, but he's not. That's not his character. Amen. He's long-suffering. The Bible says, "He's not willing that any should perish." His tender mercy is over all his works. But when men persist, God forbid that we persist. When men persist in stubbornness, in foolishness, in pride, God will resist and he will judge. And then, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Amen? So this is it. So, we're not to be hard-hearted. How do we not be hard-hearted? Well, first of all, we have to pray for and exercise ourselves in obedience and humility. Amen? Amen? Humble yourself. Don't allow offense. Exercise yourself always having a heart that is void of offense towards God or men. That's where this pride and hard-heartedness begins. Then, of course, be quick to repent, quick to obey. Amen? We also notice that, I'm just going to fly through this one. God made Moses a God to Pharaoh. I don't want to get on that. Maybe I'll come back to that later. But the point is that to Pharaoh, Moses was like God. And guess what? You know something? God is creating Moses to be gods unto the Pharaohs of this present age. If you can receive that, receive it. Bible says you are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. What is he going to do with gods? He's going to get rid of all these stuck up pharaohs that are hindering his purpose for his people in the earth. And who are his people? All men. So the men are the sheep of my pasture. Hello. We've got some serious pharaohs in Nigeria. Political, financial, economic, even ecclesiastical. Those are the ones God is going to deal with first. The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. But to get them dealt with squarely, God will first raise up Moses, God like Moses. Amen? Hallelujah. So this is it. So the sons of God. Anyway, I'll be raised up as God. Now, let's move on. Acts chapter 7, verse 3. So this happened all the space of 40 years. It says now, verse 38. Oh dear. Verse 37. This is Moses who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. He prophesied a prophet raised up like himself. Of course, we know who that prophet is. That prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, you want to understand that what Moses was saying was what God was telling him. Hello. He spoke the words, but he was just reiterating. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 18. First of all, give me verse 15. Hello, somebody. He was prophesying right at the beginning that I am the type of the Christ that will be raised up unto Israel in the end time. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee prophet, capital P. And here it's just a regular P. Yes. But here we see what God was really saying. A capital P, prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, to him ye shall hearken. And guess what? The children of Israel, the leadership particularly, didn't hearken. And they have not been hearkening since Moses. Hello, since Joseph. Bible calls him a stick piece. Why are we saying all this? So you can see where the problem with Israel began. With lack of obedience, lack of humility. And that's why they missed. Well, thank God, God worked around all their infirmities and all that and brought the Lord Jesus Christ. But the majority of those who it was for were out of the kingdom. That's what he says, I'm going to make you jealous by another nation. A nation who are not my people, they'll become my people because you, the people who are supposed to be children of the kingdom, have been cast out. Like unto me. Him shall he hearken. Give me verse, verse 17 of this. Verse 17, quickly. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Next verse. I will raise them. This is God now speaking to Moses, who now spoke what he said. I will raise up them up a prophet among their brethren, like unto thee. And he said, like unto me before. So this God said, I will raise a prophet like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command. So he's talking not about a human prophet. talking about a prophet like God. But Moses, like we saw, is a type. Amen? So we see this. Moses was a type of Christ. He was a deliverer like Israel. Delivered them from the bondage of Egypt. Brought them to the promised land. Hello. The Lord Jesus has been raised up to deliver children of Israel, the church. Bring them out of Egypt, out of, you know, sin and all those wonderful, terrible things. And bring them to the wonderful promised land of perfection and fullness. Moses was a mediator between God and man. He stood before God and said, "God, you can't destroy these people." Exactly the same thing, Lord Jesus Christ is a mediator between God and man. He was one whose face shone with glory. He reflected the divine glory of God. When Moses went onto the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, he came back, his face was shining. They couldn't even look at him. Exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Reflector of divine glory. A prophet in word and deed. A revealer of God's will and purpose. A leader of the people. Faithful in all things. This is it. So this is what he was saying. He said, now I'm going to get a prophet that's coming up who's going to be exactly like me. And he also said, this is he that was the church in the wilderness who received the living oracles to give us whom our fathers would not obey. I've heard many commentators say that there was no church in the wilderness. Can you imagine? Scripture says there's a church. They said there's no. They said, well, the reason why this is because they said they all came out as a mixed multitude. There were Jews, there were, you know, Egyptians, there were all kinds. And it's true. There was a mixed multitude. Some people went with their servants, some people decided to follow the God of Israel. There was a mixed multitude. But I give you the fact that there is no way a mixed multitude could have survived 40 years in the desert without becoming a church. Impossible. What is a church anyway? An ecclesia. Thank you. Thank you. Ecclesia. There was a church in the wilderness. Ecclesia is a people called out and separated unto God. Amen. And so this mixed multitude must have metamorphosed. There's no way. And it did. First of all, let me say, what is church? What is a church in order? Give me Philippians 1:1. Philippians 1, what is church order? What is a church? Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops, notice the plural, and deacons, that's the church. I don't believe it. That's the church. This is the definition of a church. A called out people among whom are bishops and deacons and saints. And there must be order, otherwise it's not a church. That's why fellowship is not church. Fellowship is good. It's a gathering ground, but it's not a church. It must be a part of an ordered church structure for it to be actually a church. So, the assembly in the wilderness was a church. It was not a gathering. Initially, it started as a gathering, but it was now changed. Why? Because order was put in. How do we know? Number one, Moses was the set man. Let the Lord God of heaven set a man. And then God set Joshua, which means that, and then God asked Moses to lay hands on Joshua, which means that there was a transfer of the anointing of the set man from Moses to Joshua. So until Joshua came out, was chosen by God, Moses was a set man. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, let the Lord God of heaven and earth set a man over the congregation that be not as sheep that have no shepherd. They may go out before him and come in with them. Amen? But that was what he was doing. So when Joshua was anointed, it means that Moses transferred the anointing upon him as set man to Joshua. And Joshua took over as a set man. Okay? So that's a set man. Now, the set man must have bishops under him. Numbers 11:16, please. Are we getting silent? Everyone is silent here. We're not talking business. We're talking structure now. All right? And the Lord said unto Moses, let's read together. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders, bishops of Israel, whom thou knowest. But it is always the choice of the set man to choose his bishops. I had a very interesting, this is just an aside. Some guy came here one day and said, I'm a trained pastor. I think he came and saw the congregation and said, wow, this is a good place to be. So he approached me and said, sir, and I said, oh yeah, sure, oh yeah. I said, thank you, I came here today and I like, this is good. So I just want to introduce myself, I'm a trained pastor. I said, what's that? The guy looked at me funny. I've been trained pastor. I've been trained as a pastor. I said, eh? I said, so. I must confess. It took me a while to understand what he was talking about. Because, I mean, I have nothing in my CPU to relate to that, you know. But I told him nice. I said, well, in this place, we train pastors online. And I wasn't talking internet. I mean, we train them on the job. So if you have not been on the job, there's nothing we can do for you. You may join at the back when you can come in. And if you want, you know, you just stay in the congregation. You might have a card already printed. So I think he expected an interview and, you know. Bishops, let a man, tell me some of the others whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them. And bring them unto the tabernacle of nations that they may stand there with thee. Next verse. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I'll put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest it not alone. Bishops. Amen. Church in the wilderness. Is a church. God doesn't do anything except it is in order. Order must be. Yeah, that's how you know it's God. Order. Straight up. And also captains. The deacons. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. These are the guys that, you know, do the... Because they see the bishops must keep continually in prayer and in the word. For these ones, I took the chief of the tribes, wise men, no men, made them heads over captains, over thousands, captains over hundreds, captains over fifties, captains over tens, officers among your tribes. Deacons. Look after the boo, 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 boo. While the bishops and deacons, bishops and the set man stand together in the place of prayer and the word. It was a church, folks. It was a church. So it's actually a church with proper structure and order. Otherwise, it will not have survived 40 years. Hello, somebody. And I wrote here, saying this day, many so-called churches, so-called because they don't have structure, they don't have proper order, God is going to allow them to perish in this wilderness. Because they don't have proper church structure. Amen. All these one-man churches where everything dovetails into one person, head and shoulders, he's the only one that can do anything. Everything must be signed by him. Everything must be approved. Yes, there's a reason, for, there's a way, there's a portion for that. But you don't, you know, the church of God cannot be run by one person. If it's a church, now it could be, even a company can be run by one person. You need to let go. Hello, somebody. Let's continue. So it says, in spite of this fact that Moses, that the Lord spoke to face to face, it was to Moses that God gave the living oracles. And God said, do you know that the oracles are still living? The law is not dead. Hello, somebody. What the Lord Jesus Christ said, I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. So the law is fulfilled in Christ. Hello, somebody. The only thing that has been done away with are the ceremonial aspects. Amen. All the washings, the diversities of, you know, assemblies on this day, on that day, watching for the moon and stuff. All that has been done away with. But there's still the Ten Code, the Ten Commandments. The moral aspect of the law is still there, encompassed now in one commandment called love. So the law is still, that's why it's called it living oracles. When I first of all read that, I said, it's living, but they've done away with the law. I said, no. So the law was a schoolmaster to bring the church to Christ. The fulfillment of the law is in Christ. So as long as Christ lives, the law also lives. Hello. Amen. So it's alive. This is there's a spiritual law that also says you must keep the word in your mouth, in your heart, and then do it, all these things. All these things God gave them in the wilderness. But you know what? They turned their hearts. In their hearts. Which goes to show, Father, have mercy on our people. Which goes to show that you can hear and hear and hear and hear, but if you do not do, there's no change in the heart. They heard all these things. They heard Moses speak. Oh, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. We're going to a wonderful place. You know, it was Egypt. Oh, hell. They left Egypt physically, but they left Egypt, but they didn't leave it in their hearts. They left with their feet, but their hearts were back in Egypt. That's why there wasn't all the leeks and all the onions. And can you imagine? God is taking you to destiny. Talking about onion. Leeks and onions. And the promised land is ahead. Mercy, Lord. We all laugh, you know. But you know, there are people like that. Even in this house. Hello? But there's a man willeth in his heart. So what is your heart saying? What are you transmitting? Hello, somebody. This is less than 40 days that they turned back. You know what the pastor did? The plan was, they would go into the desert, spend a few days there, pick up the law, and just cross the Jordan into the promised land. That was God's plan. So they just got there and were waiting for the law. Moses went up for 40 days and 40 nights. Just to wait 40 days. See how man is. Same thing happened in the upper room. 10 days. Folks, can you see the attention span of a human being? 10 days. 40 days. At least give the man some time. You don't know if he's alive or dead. Even if it is true that you don't know what's begotten of him, what is the next thing to start misbehaving? Folks, we need to talk to ourselves. Less than 40 days, Moses went up to the mountain. When he didn't see or hear from Moses, you know something, the Bible says, thou art a God that hideth thyself. Sometimes God will just back off and see what you're going to do. It happens a lot. The pastors know that happens. Sometimes you just find out that, where's God? You're reading your Bible and nothing's happening. You're going, God, what happened this morning? I just read, you didn't say anything. God is just waiting to see, are you going to be satisfied with the status quo? You just allow it to go like that. Or are you going to get back on your knees, on your face, and say, Lord, where art thou? Have mercy, Lord. Oh, I did hear from you this morning. Oh, please help me. Oh, help my darkness. But most people are just like, we'll try again tomorrow. Hey! Anyways, because you don't have to preach. when you have to preach, you got to hear something. You have to make sure, God, you're there. We are talking. Hello, somebody. Don't let that darkness persist. And so when it came down, the only people that stood by the side of Moses were the sons of Levi. Hello, somebody. And they killed 3,000 men with a sword. That is happening again today. Zechariah chapter 9. Sorry, chapter 13, verse 7 to 9. And when it goes sword, that sword is still in effect today. And the Levites, those who are praying and travailing for the fulfillment of God's purposes in the church, they are bringing a sword against their fellow men who have refused to turn away from Egypt. 2/3, the Bible said, cut off. It's happening as we speak. But the point is this, we must not assume that it cannot happen to our own hearts. That would be the most foolish thing. Amen? Proverbs says, keep thy heart. How? With all diligence. Out of it flow the forces that affect everybody in your life. Amen? So we need to be very careful. Okay, so I wrote here, if David, a man after God's own heart, could stray and stay at home when kings ought to be in battle. This was a man that God said he had the heart like him. And he strayed and he got into trouble with Bathsheba. That is a man after God's own heart. Thank you, Pastor Dewey. Mercy, Lord. Don't say it can't happen to me. No. That's the beginning of the fall. You will not fall in Jesus' name. It can be very costly. Okay, let's close down. Back to Acts chapter 7. Take a little bit more time and just try and close it. I trust we're getting something out of this. Little things are dropping into our hearts. Okay, so they turn back into Egypt. Verse 40. Saying to Aaron. Oh, this is terrible. Saying to Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifice to the idol, rejoiced in the work of the hands. And then God turned and gave them to worship the host of heaven. But what do I say? Folks, Aaron, this is terrible. Aaron was appointed to be God, Moses' number two. Now, there's a little bit of an issue here, I'm sure. Because Aaron was Moses' elder brother by 3 years. I'm sure we all know that. So, I'm sure when Aaron was with God and he was seeing all this, I'm sorry, when Aaron was with Moses and Moses was with God, and Moses was being made a god, and Aaron was not made a god, there must have been a bit of a shaking there, but you know, the guy kept it quiet. And he kept it quiet. And he kept it quiet. His younger brother is doing all these wonderful things. He will tell me and I will stretch out. When I stretch out without, he's telling me nothing happens. He's the rod of Moses and the rod of God. He's not the rod of Aaron. Aaron is just a helper. Number two. You don't see, this is a very subtle. And don't for 1 minute think it can happen to you. And that's a test. Aaron failed dramatically. God didn't say anything wrong. Just waiting and watching. But the moment the opportunity came, Moses disappeared for 40 days. He didn't tell anyone he was going for 40 days. Would that be 40 for a while? And you know what they did? You know, the people are very, very... The devil is a very clever devil. He knows those people who to send people to when he's looking for a rebellion. So he just told the message, you just go to Aaron. No, Byron. They said to Aaron, make us gods. Now, I don't know what was going in his mind then. Aaron, you are Moses' brother. Even if Moses has done the wrong thing, you are the older brother. Don't you know the right thing to do? It was a tussle of power. I'm saying this, I'm taking a little bit of time, a little bit more time than I normally would. It's a tussle. We need to be careful. Mommy used to say something that hits me like a sledgehammer many years ago. She said, the hardest thing to find in any organization is a faithful number two. Because there's always an undercurrent. And I just laughed and said, I will be a faithful number two no matter what. Because that's where God promotes. But look, the moment Moses looked like he had moved off the scene, Aaron just stepped in. He said, yeah, all right, now it's my turn. I'm doing Nigerian, you know, Nollywood style. Now it's my turn. Oh yeah, guys, break off your earrings. Bring all those things. Let's do something. Celebrate. These are... The man made fashioned a calf. This is Aaron, the number two to Moses, the deliverer, the man of God, who had done stunning miracles in Egypt and brought out 3.5 million people. And you were privileged to be a part of that. Now you want to take them back? You know, I'm surprised God, but you know, God is a patient, but he's a good God. I didn't fall down dead. I'll be afraid though. So he made him a golden calf. Took active part. He made a golden calf. With his own hands. That's why he fashioned it. Which means that he himself was not in agreement with where Moses... Oh. There's so many things there. And when Moses are across, he said, you know, these people, they are bent of mischief. They're mischievous people. They just, you know, gave me all this gold. And I just put it and this golden calf came out. But you know what I'm trying to say? Folks, this is for everybody. For every Moses, there's an Aaron. Every Moses. And be ready. Be ready. Only God knows the hearts of men. I've said, he knows the hearts of all men. That's why he searches the hearts. I've said, he has eyes run to and fro, looking throughout the whole earth to find a one whose heart is perfect. There are very few. Hello, somebody? Yeah. And many churches have split because of this. Many churches, many errands, just waiting for the main chance. When the man of God is a little weak, when he's down, or maybe there's a problem in the church somewhere, Ha! This is my chance. Back. Let's check. And the people know these errands. And they know the ones they go to. They know the ones that are murmuring in their heart. You're about to say, Efini Wakoshebu. They don't know who's not quite there in line. And they can see. And Lord, give us understanding. So see, so Abraham was not faithful, and he paid the price. He didn't see the promised land. We need to guard our hearts. And he said, Aaron began a set of golden calves that is in the church this day. Can you imagine? He is a priest, the beginner of those who fashion golden calves. He's the father of them. Can you imagine? He's the father of those that fashion golden calves for the people to eat and drink and rise to play before. Hello, somebody. What is the golden calf? It represents idolatry. How many remember the golden calves that Jeroboam built in Israel when the 10 kings were taken from Rehoboam and given to Jeroboam? Two golden calves, one in Dan, one in Bethel, corrupting the priesthood forever. All began with Aaron. Until today, that golden calf is still around. The golden calf is no more, and it's now the perverted gospel of prosperity. You can have it, you don't have to do nothing. You speak the word only. God wants you to prosper without a cross. Hello, somebody. Do it your way, not God's way. Hallelujah. Let's say, Jehovah, sharp, sharp. Prosperity, the idolatrous, perverted prosperity gospel. Bible says, you know, covetousness, which is idolatry. It's still out there today, folks. But guess what? God is coming back to his church. And he's going to take out the Aarons and all these golden calves. Bible says, will come suddenly. He's about to appear in his church, and he's going to make a distinction between those that serve him and those that serve themselves. And they said, those that serve him not. They're not serving whom? Who are they serving? They're serving themselves. Their own lust and ambition. Whose God is their belly? God is about to bring out that justice. So, what do we say, folks? Let's close. Let's attempt to keep watch over our hearts, diligently, daily by the Spirit, the blood, the word, all these wonderful things we've been taught. That's what's keeping you going on. Don't ever forget it. Don't assume. Don't think that your heart cannot change. Pastor was always says the heart that is not connected or not fully connected to the life source begins to deteriorate immediately. Doesn't even wait. Once, it's just like it takes a time before the deterioration comes. But you don't try it in Jesus' name. But if a person wants to stop praying for 3 days, you will not do it in Jesus' name. Just try for 2 days. Come out and pray. All your systems will just go out of whack. All that angst, and next thing you know, everything is going all right. Now imagine somebody doing that for a week, 2 weeks. What are you talking about, Swally? It happens. Some people vex with God, they won't pray again. To punish God. Pastor Wally said, to punish God, I will not pray again. Sinner. You see, I won't pray. I won't read my Bible. I want to punish you. Foolishness. Keep your heart diligently. Watching over it daily by the Spirit, using the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit, perfecting the love of God, exercising righteousness, taking heed, doing, casting down. That's where I'm going. Casting down. You can't do it just by talking, you know. Casting down, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing your every thought into captivity, subject to the will of Christ. Amen? Folks, it's a day of recompense. A day of revenge and recompense. Our own portion will be recompense and not vengeance in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close. I trust we got something out of this morning. We will not go back to Egypt in our hearts. Rejoice in the works of their hands. Oh, God have mercy. We'll get to that more. God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. You can see that even today too. We'll talk about that next week. Let's ask the Lord to help us. We've spoken quite a bit today. We spoke about the Lord perfecting Moses in meekness because of the enormity of the task that was ahead of him and the wonderful, mighty, majestic miracles he's about to perform through Moses. And the only qualification for that thing that can bring it to fullness is meekness and lowliness of heart. That's exactly what he's doing for us here too. Meekness and heart. Learning of the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all that he wants to do in us and through us, nothing will fail. Amen. As we spoke about the Lord not being the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yes, he hardened Pharaoh's heart, but it was in response to Pharaoh's own heart. So we need to exercise ourselves in proper and righteousness, so our hearts will not be hardened through the, I talked about not having our hearts and hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Keep our hearts with all diligence, so we're not partake of rebelliousness in the church. Be careful. Don't be an Aaron. Learn of his meekness and lowliness. Find rest unto our souls. Amen. Sovereign King of all the earth,
we stand as one before you,
and with faith.
To touch us anew,
Sovereign King of all the earth,
Sovereign King of all the earth,
we stand as one,
before,
and with faith in all, we ask that you judge us anew. Touch us anew.
Function of what's going on in our hearts. Very, very important. Let's respond to this word that has come this morning. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that has come to us this morning, to showing us that it is important and a vital importance of meekness and humility of heart that will help us to fulfill our individual and corporate prophetic destiny as sons of God that will manifest your glory in this day. We ask now for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us from high, that will endue us with this power, that as we learn of the meekness and lowliness of the heart, that is in Christ Jesus. Lord God, you pour out the Spirit without measure, so that we will manifest and demonstrate your glory to principalities and powers. Bring it forth, Lord God, deliverance for the sons of men, and causing them to inherit their inheritance in the promised land. We thank you for this. We come to ask for mercy to be faithful, to learn of the humility of Christ. We take upon us the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, and say we develop and grow in his humility in the name of Jesus. Which is also to have mercy, to exercise ourselves in righteousness, so our hearts will not become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We say, Lord, our hearts will continually be malleable in your hands, turning it whithersoever you will, according to your purpose. We thank you. We come to ask for mercy to keep our hearts, and to keep our hearts and guard it with all diligence, knowing that out of our hearts flow all the forces of life that affect our prophetic and individual destinies. Thank you, Lord, because our hearts be fixed in you, O Lord. We will not turn to the right, but we will turn to the left. We'll press on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We will not be rebellious, O God, in Jesus' name. And so we thank you, Lord, for this day of new beginnings, this day of distinction. It is unto us a day of blessing, of recompense. It will not be a day of vengeance. Your kingdom will come. Your will be done. For you will grant us mercy for new beginnings, to be steadfast and to be faithful, to receive our full reward in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Malakaraka sombra kabanda rebe soto mbiga bagalanga ramani bekedanga le Colombia pale rebe soto mbiga maizeli. Father, we bless you. Messe balandolo bianca la lo mezen pele son konde makala yandalo bombalea rabanzere belo monko sekele rozon palan be sekele wa melo bezon pile seka rembele salomo bombria kara rambale me mere solo makambale pambale belo putombria fa rambale pele no masakale rambia rasan balan pele keden kele lo lo miasa rebizodo sala kanaka mere sekete anka in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Sit down, please.